What's the tremendous blessing this night? We should tell you something, in the outside, the CCS, people getting saved, and we hear a good preaching, and man, was everything. God just come down, and that's good, you know, that's what we need. I want to read a verse, Brother Tom, can you read Jude 22 and 23? I know I want to take 15 minutes, I see the watch over there, okay?
Yeah.
Good luck. Jude 22 and 23.
Jude 22 and 23, follow along, I read it. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh.
Amen. I just want to tell you, we've been pulling them from the fire from almost 40 years. God saved me. I was lost and came to United States for a better life. And when I come to United States, Jesus changed my life.
Amen.
I went to a coffee house with young people in La Porte, Texas. And I was already here about Jesus, but never made a decision, a strong decision. And when I was in that coffee house, man, and they was speaking in English, and everything. And man, I just come from Mexico. I don't understand nothing at that time, brother. And after that, I asked the Lord, can you just, I just want to know what they saying, I just want to understand. That's all right if I can talk, English. But I just want to know what they talking about. And thanks God, I learned that, to understand. But, brother, when I was in that coffee house, man, the Lord just take my soul. Man, he cannot speak, man, his Holy Spirit come, I start crying, man. Crying, and I say, man, I'm a macho man. Why am I crying? Man, the Lord take you, man. You start crying, man, like a baby. And I say, I know what God want me to do. So I tell him, I surrender my life to you. Here is my life, and I've been running around, and here, take my life. And he did. Man, that time I was man and bold and drugs and everything. When I went to my house, I threw away all the drugs and everything, and I was serious about it. Since that, I've been pulling people from the hell, from the fire. And man, the Lord gave me a good job, and I started working and making a good money. I was making $14.25. I tell you, 1980 was a lot of money, man.
Yeah.
And right now they're making $29. So when the Lord come with me, he come with miracles, He talked to me in a miracle, And then he provided a good job to me. And I was working on a shell plant. I was working too in Exxon and like that, brother. And when I was working in Exxon, I was driving a brand new truck. I had everything, the American dream. And then the Lord say, I want you back to Mexico. Man, when I had everything. And I say, okay, I go to Mexico. But before that, I started a church in Texas, man. I started a church, and man, I remember the first guy I baptized, I went for Jesus. I went to a house, a Mexican house, full of Mexicans in there, drinking beer and everything in there. So I get in there, and I scream to them, if there's a real man here, follow me to church, I tell him. Man, a big man stand up. I stand up and I say, I'm a man and I'm going with you to the church. Amen. So he come to me, to church. Man, that night God saved that man.
Amen.
And when the service was over, and when I was taking him to his house, he said, do you think Jesus really forgive me? I said, do you convert? Do you receive Jesus for real? He said, yes, but you don't know me. I said, no, I don't know you, but Jesus knows you. And he said, man, I was killing for money in Mexico. I killed a lot of people for money. And I said, you forgive, God forgive you. You receive Jesus, he forgive you. And he said, I want to change my gun for a Bible. He said, and then he gets saved, and you know what? His family gets saved. Always he praying, you know. He asked him for praying. Pray for my family. I want my family to have all this too. I want my family to have Jesus too. And then he with his wife, with his kid, he fixed the paper, man. He's legal now in Texas. God can make a miracle if a man give his heart.
Yes.
And I keep on doing that. Was the first when I baptized in my ministry.
Yes,
man, and then the Lord said to me, he called some people to preach, go to Mexico. Go to Mexico. And man, I listened to God. You know, my pastor, he said, I want you to be a pastor of my church because I want to resign. And I want you to be the pastor. I say, I'm sorry. God is calling me to go to Mexico. Man, you don't get mad to the pastor, man. He get mad. He said, I want you in Dallas to take a church. They're going to give you every year a new car. They're going to give you a good salary. Why are you going to Mexico? Isn't there money over there? How you want to live? I said, I don't know, but I have to listen to God. I don't know. He's going to take care of me. So I went to Mexico, man. And they say, Joe is crazy. Man, you have to be crazy for God, you know. If you just too cold for God, God don't use that kind of person. You have to be crazy, man, for God. If you want to do something. Man, I went to Mexico and I started preaching in open air. I was preaching and the people getting saved, man, and open air. And the first anniversary, I invited my pastor to go to Mexico. I tell him, I invited to come to Mexico. Man, he make a mistake. He said, yes, I go to Mexico. Man, the Lord take him over there, man, in Mexico, and open his eyes. Man, more than 300 people was in open air hearing the gospel because the calling of God was real. And man, he said, what you need? I tell him, I need everything. Man, I get a junk car, you know, driving and put the people on the hood and the back, everything, man, and take them to that empty lot, man. And they getting saved, you know. And he said, I want to give you my car, my new car. I'm going to fly back, he said. And he said, what you need? Well, you need something, man? I want to buy you a stove, he said. He buy me a bed. We were sleeping on the floor, brother. But winning souls for Jesus, pulling them from the hell. Because I know that's a real hell. Man, and I've been doing that, brother, for 1980 in Mexico. I remember one time and I got 5 minutes. I got 10 minutes, man. I got 10 minutes. I want to respect the watch, the clock, okay? So I got 10 minutes more. I went to jail, you know, looking for the people to pull them from the fire. And I meet a lot of crazy ones over there in Mexico. So I know about this guy. He was killing people from the cartel. They catch him. They say this man killed 15 come in the newspapers, and I say, man, I know that man. I used to be with him, you know. I wanna go and preach to him in jail. So I went to jail, man, and I tell him, the jail people, I wanna talk with this man. They say, I'm sorry, preacher. It's an order. Nobody can talk with him. I say, yeah, but I wanna talk with him. I say, no. Okay, where is the director of the jail? They said, they across the street. I said, okay, I go and talk to him. So I went to cross the street and talk with this man, a lawyer. And I tell him, man, I want to talk with this man. He say, I'm a preacher, I tell him. I preach Jesus. He say, okay, just make a deal. I say, okay, let's make a deal. And he say, you have to come first every time you go into jail and preach to me.
Man,
you know what, brother? People is waiting to somebody preach to them, making it safe. And the doors of jail just open wide, brother. He said, you can go anywhere you want in jail. You can go with the ladies. You can go with the meanest people. The meanest people, they live in a little square with they can feed, brother. Because they kill somebody inside the prison. You can go in there too. You can go anywhere you want. Man, and then I say, okay. So I went, you know, to jail with some other newcomers. And the Lord put me in my heart, go and preach to the women, to the ladies. Do you know the ladies? Nobody preaches to the ladies in the prisons. All the men, they say, they're going to jail, but preach to the men. But that's a meaning of girls too. And the Lord said, you go preach to the ladies. So I tell the man, you know, the in charge inside, and tell him, open the doors for the ladies, where the ladies live. So they open the doors, brother. And I tell, which one is the leader? They told me which one was the leader. So I tell him, can you get together all the ladies? Because I want to preach Jesus to the ladies. She said, yes. So every lady get together, man. And I just preached Jesus to these ladies, man. And everyone gets saved, brother. Everybody gets saved. And man, she was so happy. She was so happy. She said, when everything finished, she said, are you hungry, preacher? I said, sure, I'm hungry. I want to do something to eat for you and your people. Okay. Can you wait? Yes, I wait. So man, she make a delicious tamales to us. Mm. Man, but you can see their faces, the lady faces, a change. So we take long, you know, talking with them and take along, and then when we finish, let's go over there with the men. And when they see me, they say, why you take too long? We see you when you come with your Bible and your people, and you take too long. Sometimes we take too long to take the gospel, man. Sometimes. I tell them, yes, I take too long because I was eating. This lady, they convert and they receive Jesus and they made me something to eat. They make a tamales for me. And they say, do you know that lady? I say, no, I don't know. She said, man, she's mean, they say. Do you know what she did? No. They say, she killed her husband, and put her in a freezer and make pieces of his body and make tamales to him, from him, you know, and sell him in the streets. He said, and they start laughing, man. They say, you was eating with her tamales? I say, yeah, it was delicious, man. I don't care, Christian tamales, right? She was sad, man. She was enjoying, man. Give me something to this preacher, something to eat. Sure, I eat tamales, I tell him. But they was waiting, brother. for me to go and preach Jesus to them.
Yeah,
the people's waiting for us. I got now 5 minutes and I finish. 5 minutes. Because they say, no, you take too long. No, I count them, the minutes. So, brother, and I started, you know, preaching, and the church grew up, and the Lord started calling some young people to preach, and we started churches, brother, in open air, and then I sent four boys, preacher boy, like we here last night, and we sent them to Bible college. And I say, I want to start my own Bible college. And then the people say, Joe was crazy. How are you going to start the Bible college? You don't got no money. But I was Jesus. I was that you know, in my heart, you know, to start a Bible college. So they finished Bible college, and we start our own Bible college.
Amen.
And now we've been training more than 200 preachers. More than 200 preachers.
Amen.
We got works in few states of Mexico. My two sons called to preach. One is in Michoacán, the one is going to preach. The other one is in San Luis. I'm still in the same state. Man, the Lord called me and teach me this verses. Lord, go and pull people from Tampico. Tampico is the worst place. They killing people every day, killing families, killing some kids and women, brother. And the Lord said, go and pull them from the fire. And some people say, man, you got enough churches, you got Bible college. Where you going? You send somebody over there. No, no, the Lord called me. And I'm afraid he killed me if I don't go, brother. I have to go.
Hey.
They say, you too old. No, I'm just a starter, brother.
Hey.
I'm just a brother. Pray for me. We got 2 churches in 5 months. 5 churches. This old man is there. 2 churches. You don't want to see abuses in there. I got a church in a street. I got a church. I run in a house, brother. I got a church in that house. You want to see the pictures in there. But we got 2 churches. We got a preacher already. Amen. I just got 2 minutes. Amen. This man, he was 19 years in prison, and he came from our church. And he said, sir, do you want to lose and do you want a job to me? Because I just get out of the jail. I want something to eat, but I just want to work. And I said, you come tonight to the service, I help you. Man, he did save that night. And after 2 weeks, man, the Lord called to preach to him. Man, he's preaching. I'm here. He's taking care of the church over there.
Amen.
I got a son. He was kidnapped. He was taking the church. They together were. They together over there in some people. Pray for us. Pray for mission to keep pulling them from the fire. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Oh, y'all can do better than that. We did a whole song last night and now you can't do buenos dias? Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
There you go. Good morning.
It's
good to be here in the house of God. And before I share my testimony or anything like that, I want to thank the church for taking good care of us. We're in a wonderful hotel. Had a great breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
And thank you, preacher. Thank you. And I tell you something. I'm not going to criticize any churches, but you know where a church's heart is whenever they know how to treat missionaries.
Yeah.
First class, brother. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And my name is Manuel Gomez. I'll share a little bit about myself. Our story began well over 35 years ago, about 40 years ago, when this man you just heard, by the way, everything he said, it's real, and the half of it hasn't been told. He's got many stories, you know.
And my dad came over to America looking for an opportunity, running away from a bad past in Mexico and looking for a new start, looking for the American dream, looking to better himself. And he found something better than that. He found the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ changed his life. And Lord gave him a church to start. And after the Lord had blessed him, we went down to Mexico as a family. And must have been 3, 4 years old, something like that, when we went down to Mexico. And he went without no support, not even the support of his own church. He's always been an unorthodox person. So he went because God told him to go, and I'm glad he went. Amen.
Amen.
There's been hundreds of people saved because he went. And we went down there with him, just being little kids. And we would come over to the States during summer because I have my grandparents live in South Texas, and we have aunts, uncles, relatives that stayed in Texas. And we'd come over during the summers, and we'd go to the swimming pools, you know, in summer, and we'd go to McDonald's, and boy, we just thought that was heaven on earth, amen. And then we have to go back to Mexico with Dad, and what we had to sleep on the floor, and we were constantly sick. We lived in a very poor, rough part of town. There were rats everywhere. At night, they would come and nibble our ears. And just tough times, you know, tough times. And we didn't understand a lot of that. We didn't understand what was going on. So as I grew up, I said to myself, I said, number one, I'll never be a preacher. I'm never going to be a preacher. Number two, I said, as soon as I grow up, I'm going to get away from church as fast as I can. I don't want nothing to do with church. My dad's crazy. He said it himself, you know. My dad's crazy. I don't want nothing to do with this. And number three, I'm getting away from Mexico as far as I can. You know, that was my view, you know, growing up. And I'm sharing this for the teenagers, you know.
Amen.
And I went through a rebellious streak in my life. But at the age of 15, I was sitting in a service like last night, and an evangelist got behind the pulpit. And he preached on hell, on the wrath of God, but he also preached on the mercy of God and how you could be saved. And for the first time, I understood that I was wicked in my heart, that I was lost, that I needed a Savior. And I came forward that night and I repented of my sins. Amen. The Lord changed my life. He changed my thoughts. He changed my heart. He changed my direction. He changed my future. Now I've started 4 churches.
Yeah.
I'm preaching the gospel, and I'm in Mexico. The 3 things I said I would never do, because that was God's will for my heart. That was God's will for my life. So the following year, the Lord called me to preach. After being called to preach, I went to Bible college for 3 years, and under my dad's leadership was trained. And after I graduated, pastored a church there in the border and helped start several churches along his side. And it's been about 9 years that the Lord took us to the southern part of Mexico, to the state of Michoacán, about 14 to 16 hours away from the Laredo, Texas border. And what I saw down there broke my heart. Up in the border, things are different. A lot of the gospel kind of spills over. You get a lot of churches, all kinds and stripes, Methodist, Lutheran, a lot of Pentecostals, some Baptist churches. But down there, there was no churches that would preach the gospel. We literally go to town after town, village after village that had no gospel witness at all. And that broke my heart. That broke my heart. What we found was a people that would pray to their dead loved ones throughout night. What we found was people that would go on their knees for kilometers trying to gain the favor of God, when the Bible tells us this ultimate sacrifice has been done through Jesus Christ. And that need became a burden in my heart, and that burden became a calling. So it's been about 9 years. I took my new bride down there. I'd just been married, took her 14 hours away from her parents. They still haven't forgiven me for that yet. We went down there by faith, trusting God. Just to make a long story short, Lord allowed us to start a church in the capital town of Morelia. Our daughters were born down there. We started three other churches in three communities that there was no gospel presence at all. Mind you, a Baptist church like this one. We baptized the first converts, the first Christians in that those towns' history ever by the grace of God. So you pray for us. We know at least 27 towns and small communities. Some are rural communities, 200, 300 people hidden in the mountains that have no gospel witness at all. And my heart breaks, and we've given our life, my family's life, for the preaching of the gospel and to introduce the gospel into those places that have never heard it. In Mexico. So I'll finish with this. Please pray for us. Pray for my family. My wife and my girls, they're still back home. And our biggest need is that you pray for our safety, our security. Mexico's going through a ruthless cartel, drug war. Cartels are fighting each other. There's a drug war going throughout all the country. Not only in the borders where we're at, in the hills, it's a drug-producing state. They grow a lot of marijuana. They have a lot of drug labs. And whoever controls that controls the money. So for the past 5 years, it's been a constant war. It's been constant shootouts. It's been terrible. We've been pulled by the cartels at least 7 times. Directly one time, and I ask you to pray for us. One time we were coming from one village and we were coming into town, pretty big town where we live, and a big cartel kingpin had been taken by the government. So the cartel had a little tantrum, you know. So what they did, they blocked all the entrances in that go into town. There's 5 entrances that come into town. So they blocked each one of them. So I'm just coming in with my family, my little pickup truck. I got my wife with me, my 2 girls on the small cab. And as I'm going in, it's happening live. It's happening right in front of me. It's almost as if it's in slow motion. In pulls a vehicle with cartel people. And as it stops in the road, everything stops. Quickly, a big line begins to form. And the cartel, a guy gets off, he's got the whole 9 yards, he's got a mask, he's got his automatic weapon, he's got his radio, he's got his bulletproof vest, and he's coming down. And the first vehicle that stopped, he tells the man to get out. It's a nice car, he doesn't want to get out. Tells him to get out, he won't listen, so he takes his automatic weapon and hits him and starts beating him, drags him out. Takes that car, blocks part of the road. He comes back to the second vehicle. He doesn't argue with him. He just hits him, mistreats him, takes him out, blocks part of the road. He's coming back again, and I'm third in line. He's walking, he's looking at me, and he stops right in front of me. And I'm looking at him. My wife is crying. My girls are hiding themselves. I'm trying to keep my composure and asking God, what is it that I should do? And he looks at me for 3 seconds that were eternity for me. And I'm looking back at him. And I'm praying to God, what do you have me to do? And he keeps walking and goes to the vehicle directly behind me and does the same thing he did to those 2 vehicles. They burned those vehicles. And we stay on the side of that road till 3 o'clock in the morning past midnight. Why is it that my family was not mistreated and my car didn't burn up in flames? I believe somebody was praying for us.
Amen.
I believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
So when we tell you to pray for us and to take a prayer card, it's a matter of life and death. I know at least 5 missionary families that have had to pull out, not because they're scared or anything, their lives were directly in danger. They pulled back. They're in the States. Some have changed fields. I know one of them has gone to Puerto Rico because it's become almost impossible. By the grace of God, you know, Lord allowed us to be born in Texas, and I can bring my family anytime. We're not coming. We're staying in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
July 28th. Praise God. I'm going to take a plane back to South Texas and go with my family, be in Mexico.
Yes.
Lord's allowed us to be here this time because we have some needs. So you pray for us. And in this time, and you got to be real careful how you read the news, and you can become bitter and the politics of all, and you know, all those kids at the border, they shouldn't be here. And I understand that. A lot of them are fleeing from their kids, their parents were killed. Some of them are going through just the most horrible situations. We won't get into whether it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you, people will swim across a shark-infested ocean to get to Miami from Cuba.
That's right.
People will swim across the Rio Grande to get to America, to Texas. People will go through a desert to try to get to Arizona. To have what you have.
That's right.
They'll risk their lives. It's not right. Like I said, we're not going to get into the politics. They'll do that. But not us. While they're coming down here, I know my father, myself, my brother, we're staying down there.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're coming by the droves. We're going to go down there and be faithful to God. Where God has called us to be. So pray for us, pray for my family, pray for my dad. And boy, what a tremendous message last night, amen. Boy, God was all over that. And now I have to preach this morning. I just want to share a little bit with you this morning what the Lord placed in my heart, and I'll try to be brief this morning. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. We'll read verse 10 to verse 15, and then we'll read verse 30. Brother, you know if I can have that water?
Yes, sir.
Is somebody? Okay.
You have that water?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Brother, pray for me, brother. I've been sick. I got a bug. I was doing fine. I came into America. The first day that I came into America, I was hit with a bug. You know, and I was warned not to drink y'all's water, but I didn't listen. Don't drink the water, and I drank the water, and I've been hit since. So I pray for me. I've been to the doctor. I've gone to 3 bottles of Pepto Bismol. It's y'all's food. You know, it's got some kick to it. I'm just praying. It's good food, brother. I love America. It just doesn't like me, brother. It gets me in the stomach. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We'll read verse 10 to verse 15. Let's stand up if you're able to for the reading of God's word. Amen. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from Saul came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, He was afraid of him.
Yeah.
That's twice that the Bible says that Saul was afraid of him. We'll read verse 30. Verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul.
Yes.
So that his name was much set by. The Bible tells us that David behaved himself wisely. Verse 14, it repeats it. He behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Verse 30 says he behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, how we desire to hear from you this morning. Lord, be with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you to bear a little bit with me with my English. When I'm talking and when I'm going slow, it's fine. But when I start preaching, it lags behind a little bit sometimes. And God will be speaking to me, and we all know God speaks Spanish, amen. And by the time I translate that to y'all, it takes me some time, amen. So see, if I get riled up and I get ready to preach and my English is not helping, I'm just going to start going in Spanish, all right? So you can say amen. It'll be good, all right? It'll be Bible, amen. The Bible tells us that David behaved himself wisely. David behaved himself wisely. I believe that if there's something that we need in our churches, if there's something that we need from God's people and Christians and our young people, it's to have the wisdom of God. Amen? Yeah. To have the wisdom of God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God departed from Saul, and as the Spirit of God departed from Saul, he became a fool. He started making foolish decisions. He about lost his mind. That's what will happen with anybody that will get away from God. Amen. You've ever met people that serve God and were doing right and were making right decisions, but they got away from God and that was the end of it. Amen. But the Bible also tells us of a young man named David, and he loved the Lord. He feared the Lord. He loved to worship the Lord. He loved to fight the battles of God. And the Bible said that God was all over him. Amen. God was all over him. It's something different when God comes over and takes a young man and fills him with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's something to watch. It's something to watch. Nowadays, people are impressed by dressing fads, and people are impressed by the talents because they can shoot a basketball. People are impressed if a young kid gets an education. I'll tell you what impresses me: when God gets all over a person and lets his life be run by the Holy Spirit. That's something to watch. That is something to watch. And this is what it's unfolding before our very eyes in the life of David. He's got God all over him. And people are starting to watch. People are starting to notice. People will notice when you live right for God. People will start paying attention when God's all over you.
That's right.
Right.
People will notice. And this is what's going on in the life of David. Number one, I'd like to say David behaved himself wisely in spite of his success. The Bible tells us that David has come from defeating Goliath. And in one quick moment, he went from being a nobody to being the most popular figure in all of Israel. In one moment. In one moment, he's been asked by King Saul to come and live in the palace. This is a young man that lived out in the country in a rural setting, maybe not the richest of all homes. And now he's living in a palace. Life has taken a turn, a good turn for him. Good things are coming along David's way. When he is coming into Jerusalem, he's greeted by many young women of Jerusalem. He's an attractive young boy. The Bible tells us that. And not only is he attractive, he's a war hero. He's the talk of the town. And as he's coming into town, the ladies are singing praises unto him. Bible tells us that Saul even starts getting a little jealous because of what's going on. You'd think that this young man, with all these different changes in his life, moving into the palace, being a popular man, being in the front page of the newspaper, you'd think with all the talents and being handsome and all the young ladies in Jerusalem singing after him, you'd think that after this sudden turn, it would have gone to his head. He would have lost his footing. He would have become proud. He would have become unteachable. But no, the Bible says that he behaved wisely. You know why he behaved wisely? Because he understood that everything he had came from God. It had been God that gave him the victory. It was God that gave him the talent. He owed it all to God.
Amen.
Some of you young kids will get your first car. It'll be a deadbeat car, but you think it'll be a Lamborghini. You won't come to church because you're washing your car. You won't want nothing to do with God because you got a car. Some of you will get a paycheck and you'll lose your head over those first $300 that you get in your hand. And you won't want to do nothing with God. And you're going to be out in the world because you've tasted a little wealth, a little fame. The Bible tells us of a young man that's got God all over him and doesn't lose his head or footing.
Amen.
But behaves himself wise.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong. God blesses you.
That's right.
Understand that it all comes from God. If God gives you some victories, never forget to give him all the honor and all the glory. If somebody says that you sing good, don't forget to give him the glory. If somebody says that you do a good job preaching, give him the glory. If God gives you a couple of dollars, give him the glory. There's nothing wrong if young lady, somebody thinks that you're beautiful. Don't let it go to your head. Guys, oh, most of you guys aren't beautiful here. You'll have a young man, you know, in school, and all the girls are running after him, and boy, he thinks he's something, huh? Behave yourself wisely.
That's right.
Behave yourself wisely.
Amen.
He behaved himself wisely in spite of his success. Secondly, I'd like to say that he behaved himself wisely in spite of the way that he was treated. In spite of the way that he was treated. Verse 10 and verse 11, the Bible tells us that King David, this young man, he's not a king yet, but this young man, David, he's full of talents. He also knows how to play the harp.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people knew how to play the harp, but not like David played the harp. Because when David played the harp, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came down.
Yeah. Amen.
And Saul knew this. And as David was playing the harp with his hand, the Bible says that Saul got so full of bitterness and an evil spirit from God came to him. And he had a javelin. And the Bible tells us that he threw it right at him.
Yeah.
Missed him.
Yeah.
Took another one. Threw it at him. Missed again. And this guy was a bad shot. You go with me to verse 13. Let's read it, verse 11. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And then go with me to verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Do you see something wrong with this?
Yeah.
Does anybody see something wrong with this?
Uh-huh.
was going on. Saul just tried to hit, Saul just tried to take out David's head twice. He's not able to do it. So he tells them, you want to be the captain of my army? It doesn't make sense. Let me bring it down. Let's say your pastor had a revolver with him. And here's a guy right here. And he aims once, misses. Aims again, misses again. And he says, son, I want you to be over the Sunday school department. You just try to kill me.
Right.
You just try to take my life out from me. You just swung a javelin twice at me. And now you want me to serve as a captain? What would most of us say? No way. How many times have somebody thrown a javelin of gossip at us?
Yeah.
Just a little gossip, a little commentary, a little uncalled for. Boy, we get offended. We say in our hearts, yeah, but one time they're going to need me. And let's see who's going to do it for them. I'm preaching now, huh? It got quiet. It got quiet. But the Bible tells us that he was made captain over 1,000. And he went in and out before the people in spite of almost losing his life. Why did David serve even though Saul is trying to kill him? Because he understood that he was not serving Saul. He understood he was serving God.
Yeah.
Saul was there as a king, but at the end he understood he was serving God. Let me bring it down here and make it real to you. Whenever you drive a bus or a van, whenever you clean out the church, whenever you teach a Sunday school class, you're not serving your pastor. You're not serving the leadership of the church. You're serving God Almighty. It is Him that you serve. Many of you young kids, you've got to be ready for this. You're going to get on fire for God, and you're going to go back to your churches or in this church and get involved with somebody, and somebody from the church with a bad attitude is going to throw a javelin at you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Amen. And they're going to say, yeah, they got some religion, that camp, and bless their little hearts. They want to get involved, but they don't know we've been here 40 years and just... And they'll throw out little commentaries like that. Don't let that get to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't let that get to you. You keep a straight head. You keep a straight heart. You walk. You conduct yourself wisely. You understand that if you're going to do something, you're going to do it for God.
Yeah.
Don't let that heart become bitter. Don't get mad at the things that happen. Serve God with joy. Serve God with gladness.
Yeah, that's true.
Bible says, verse 30, and he behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. I'm finishing. For some reason, I believe that not all the servants of Saul did what was right. Anytime you get a group together, not everybody does right.
That's right.
Even in our churches.
That's right.
You preachers know this. He could have succumbed to the peer pressure.
Yeah.
But he decided, I'm not going to be like the crowd.
That's good.
I'm going to be different.
That's good.
I'm going to be different. Verse 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him.
Yes. Amen.
Saul is the king. Saul's got the crown. Saul's got the throne. Saul's got the man of war. Saul has the military power, the economic power, but he's shaking in his boots for a little young lad that is just a little bit different than anybody else. You understand that, kids?
Yes, sir.
Whenever kids, other kids start throwing names at you, oh, you're a Christian now, and there you go to church, and they're just afraid.
Yeah, that's right.
They're just shaking in their boots. You walk with God.
Yes.
God will take care of you.
Amen.
Many years pass by, and Saul is in a cave. He's out looking for David. He's just become full with thoughts of revenge. I mean, he thinks David is after him, and David really doesn't want to do anything to him. And he's become more foolish and foolish and foolish and foolish. And David's out wandering in the hills and in the mountains. And finally, David has an opportunity, together with Abishai, to get him as he's sleeping in one of these caves. And Abishai says, "My Lord," he tells David, "please let me smite him, and I'm not going to miss twice." In other words, you remember how he missed and he almost tried to kill you? I'm not going to be a bad shot like he was. I'm going to get him right in the spot.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
David behaved himself wisely in spite of the opportunity to get his revenge. If there's something tempting to the flesh, forget alcohol, forget drugs. If there's something tempting to the flesh, it's revenge.
Yeah.
I'm going to see him one of these days. We'll see how it turns out. I'll get him. I'll see how it turns out for them. Boy, that flesh can't be controlled. And here's this man that has the ultimate opportunity. The reason he's out in the wilderness, the reason he's wandering like a nomad, is because of this man. He can finally get his revenge. And he walks away because David behaved himself wisely. Oh, I'm trying to finish. Some preacher said this last night. Somebody said this. The more foolish you become nowadays, the more popular you get to be nowadays.
Right.
The most famous pop stars are the biggest idiots.
Right.
Are the biggest foolish. The foolish ones. You get a young girl that cuts her hair and gets tattoos all over her and is smoking a joint, marijuana cigarette. She'll get famous all over. I don't care if wisdom is out of style. I don't care if wisdom doesn't make you popular. Wisdom is not a vehicle so you can become popular.
Yeah, that's good.
Bible tells us in the book of Peter, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Call him to God. Mm-hmm. May God give us young people that are wise. Let the world become a foolish parade. You don't become a fool. You behave yourself wisely.
Right.
So how do I do this? Well, the Bible says that the Lord was with David. You need God in your heart.
Yeah.
There's no way you can become wise if God's not here.
That's right. Yes.
Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Preacher, come.
Brother, thank you.
Father, we thank you for what you've done in this hour. I pray, Lord, continue to speak to hearts. Lord, seal what we've heard, what we've received, seal in our hearts. Lord, help us as we continue to learn, to have understanding. Lord, that knowledge will not puff us up. Lord, I pray that, Lord, more than anything else, I pray the very fires of our heart be warmed, the coals and embers of our soul would be stirred. Lord, that young people, old people alike would leave this place, Lord, with that burning desire for you more than we've had in many, many, many years. Lord, would you give us a closeness? Would you give us a draw with you that would desire to draw close to you in Jesus' name? Amen. We do this. I made a couple promises. Brother Taylor gave me instructions.